And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our designer series. After a long process, we are pleased to introduce the 2020 winner of Artist of the Year. And it goes to Crystal Witten for her original art prints and greeting cards, creatively finished in her original hand lettering. Crystal, congrats and welcome to our designer series that focuses on best versions.
Hey, thanks so much for having me today.
Well, you bet. Tell our listeners about where you're from originally and your journey as an artist.
Okay. Well, I was born in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but I was raised in Memphis, Tennessee. My dad got transferred there and took us away from all of our family that was in Texas. So I grew up in a really strong church, was raised in church in Memphis, Tennessee. And now I'm in Tampa, Florida. My husband lives here. It's where his family was. And so once we got married, he took me, you know, whisked me away down to Florida. And we have two kids. We have a 7-year-old daughter and an almost 10-year-old boy. And so my journey kind of begins when I got married. I was still in school and I was studying advertising and graphic design. And so I got a job out of college doing graphic design and worked there for a while, but then I went part-time. Once we had our son, I was able to transfer and kind of move into doing a freelance type job. Mm-hmm. And just over the years started to feel weary in that, you know, because all my creative energy was poured into that. And then the clients will take your work and they go, well, change this and change that. And, you know, we don't like this and we don't like that. And so then the final product would not be anything near what I created. And so there just came a point in time where I was really burnt out and I thought, you know, I just needed to create something for myself. I need to be able to have a creative outlet that is just for me. And it's what I'm inspired by and what I like. And I tried several different things. You know, I was doing some embroidery and doing some painting of furniture and just kind of different things. And I thought, this isn't the creative outlet that I need. And then I stumbled upon hand lettering. And that is just where, and I know that God just led me to that, but I started teaching myself how to do hand lettering. And it took off from there. I loved it. I combine it with scripture. And so it just flowed into wanting to share scripture in a beautiful way, in a fun and modern way with other people. And, you know, I believe that there's a lot of encouragement and hope and healing that comes from scripture and from reading those words. And so my passion, it, you know, came together and was to get that word out into the world in kind of a new, unique way. So that's kind of a brief overview of the journey. God has done a whole lot in my heart and taken me, you know, it's interesting actually, back whenever I was in high school and college, I used to, I guess it was called hand lettering, but I didn't know that at the time, but I would take markers and paper mm-hmm. and I would write out, lyrics to songs and Bible verses that I had read, and I would tape them to my walls, and my whole wall was covered at my parents' house. And then whenever I got into college and I started doing design, I had some people tell me, and they didn't mean to do it. They didn't mean to hurt me, but the place I worked at, they said, oh, can you make a sign for the front door to say that we're closing early tonight? And I said, okay, well, I wanted to draw it out. Let me get some markers. I'm going to draw out a hand lettered sign. I didn't know it was called hand lettering. And they said, well, that probably won't look too professional. Can you just type one up on the computer? And internally, you know, as an 18-year-old in my brain, I thought, oh, so what I'm doing here creatively with my hand isn't professional. So I guess the professional thing to do would be just to make stuff on the computer. And so for the longest time, I'd say probably 10 years, I didn't draw, I didn't sketch, I didn't do any hand lettering, because that just mentally turned me to okay, well, I guess I just need to design stuff on the computer. Mm-hmm. So whenever I rediscovered hand lettering, I thought, you know, this is what I did way back in the day. This is just more of a grown-up version of it. And it's very valued. People love it. And it, you know, it's definitely made a comeback in recent years. But I feel like God has brought me full circle to where I was back when I was a 15, 16-year-old girl, you know, writing out Bible verses and taping them to my walls. And the first product that I had was an art print, you know, and I put it in a frame and hung it on my wall. And so one of the things I like to say is paper your walls with God's word. And it just kind of goes back to that for me. So,
hey, that's a great story. Let's unpack part of that. Did going to school and studying add or detract from your own creativity?
So I was counseled not to do that. And so I just went to a regular state school here in Florida and took some design classes where they did encourage using your own creativity and how to critically come up with concepts and things for your designs. And sure. So I actually had a really good experience with that.
There is something so creative and whimsical in your original work. Was there value in you teaching yourself versus someone else teaching you?
Absolutely. Because you have to really, when you teach yourself, you have to go deeper than whenever you have someone else showing you. And really the reason I taught myself is because when I first started looking at lettering, there were no classes online. I have found very few books on the subject. Most of the books I found were kind of the little bubble letters with the dots on the ends, you know, and just not what I was looking for. I found maybe one or two people who had done some YouTube videos, but there was just not what there is today. And so I thought, well, okay, how do you do this? And one of my favorite things as a graphic designer was to typography and the different fonts and things that bring, you know, a font on the computer can completely change the look of your design just based on the fonts you choose. And that was always very intriguing to me. So I think I've always enjoyed letters and the look of letters, kind of that art of what letters look like. You know, it's kind of sounds silly, but and so yes, learning, I had to really just experiment, you know, and figure things out. I did start following some other letterers, people who already kind of had the grasp of it on Instagram and Pinterest. And so I took a lot of inspiration from other people and their work and just did, you know, copied, but I was trying to figure it out, you know, and I do think that it expands your learning whenever you're not told specifically what to do. And it expands your creativity too, because you're not put into a box where you have to do it a certain way.
Well, that's exactly right. I happen to remember my own sixth grade art teacher, Mrs. Helvey, and we were discussing whether it was okay to mix cursive and manuscript writing. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Why not?" So you kind of take that attitude forward and capitalize on words and putting scripture and banners and adding all sorts of flourishes. You can tell that you are truly unleashing your creativity without anyone hanging over your shoulders to say, do this or do that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. As an artist, you really have to find out what motivates you and, you know, find your own creativity. And for a little while I did, commissions where people would ask me, "Hey, can you make me a sign with this on it?" And what, you know what they would do? They would send me a picture of what they had found on it or online somewhere. And they would say, "Can you make me a sign that looks like this?" And that always bothered me. And I would say, "Well, yes and no. You know, one, you're asking me to copy another artist's work, which is unethical. And that's stealing." But most people just don't realize that, you know, and I understand they don't realize it, but I would always try to just educate them and say, "Well, you don't want to copy something exactly. I can kind of see what look you want. And so I can try to create something with that look." But a lot of times people just want you to copy what they find, you know. So I stopped doing a lot of the custom work just because I think I thrive more when I am motivated and inspired to create something. And whenever I'm told to create something, it just, I mentally struggle with that. So
now let's talk about your favorite mentors that have shaped your best version.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to share them with you. I've had a bunch of ladies speak into my life, which is such a blessing. The ones that come to mind, though, there's a lady that I worked for when I first got married. I was still in school, and I needed a little part-time job. She had an eBay business, or she still has an eBay business. And so I came on to work with her, and she taught me how to do packing and shipping, and she just we spent a lot of time talking, you know, and she really just poured into me. But she taught me how a mom who has a child, and she has a child who is slightly disabled, and but how she could have her own business, and she, you know, could do this thing for herself, and it made some extra money for the family. And I think I was really inspired by that, you know, and she's the first person that I knew of who has an online business. And it was on eBay, you know, so that it was a really important experience. And I spent about, I think, maybe a year with her, working with her. And then another lady at our church, she was my husband's piano teacher when he was growing up, and she played the piano in our wedding. And she is just one of the most fun people. She loved hospitality. And I remember her saying that she doesn't want anyone to ever come into her home and feel unwelcome. So it's her mission to make people feel welcome when they come into her home. And I've had the opportunity to go to her house. She taught me how to make flower arrangements. And she's kind of the person in our church who people will ask her to throw a bridal shower or a baby shower. And she just goes all in, you know, and she just loves to make beautiful things. And she loves to make people feel special. And I just, she to me exemplifies the gift of hospitality. And I've always been so inspired and love to spend time with her. And so I feel like she poured into my life of how you can make people feel important and feel special. And also how to make beautiful things and how to appreciate beautiful things. I mean, I'm talking about silverware. You know, she's showing me the different kinds of silverware because she would go to, you know, rummage sales and flea markets and things and find treasures, you know, teapots of real silver and things like that. And she just taught me how to appreciate the beautiful things of life and not to save those things for special occasions, but to use them on a normal basis too. So that's another one. And then the third one is a sweet lady who goes to my church again. She has a daughter who's my age, who's a good friend of mine. But when I had my first baby, my son, my mom had just passed away. She had passed away of breast cancer 3 weeks before my son was born. And that was the hardest time of my life, of course. And she just came alongside me and she said, "Let me come over and I will take care of my son's name is Pierce." She said, "I will come over and I will take care of Pierce and you just go take a nap." And so she would come over to my house once or twice a week and she would take care of my baby and she would fold the laundry and vacuum the floors and just, she just did the things that a mom would do. And I will never forget that. And we're still very close friends. She did that for the whole first year of my son's life. She let me go run errands or do things by myself. And then even after my daughter was born a couple of years later, she did that a little bit. And she taught me how to sew. And so I just feel like she poured into me and did the things that my mom would have loved to have been there to do. And so just rounded me out, encouraged me as a mom, encouraged me in my creativity with sewing. And so anyway, those are the three ladies that just really in my, since having been married, really have poured into my life that I'm so, so grateful for.
Oh, that is inspiring. And, you know, for those of you that are listening out there that want to know that the little things that you do for friends really matter. That last example is so touching. Talk about in time of need, just dropping everything to be over there and to be present. That's a walking, talking, comforting friend that's priceless. I mean, that is a priceless person in one's life. So it doesn't take a lot, does it? Sometimes it's just the simple little things.
That is so true. And that really made me realize it. You know, and two, I will say this, that whenever we know someone who's hurting, we'll say, let me know what I can do for you. And I have done this so many times. Let me know what I can do for you. But people don't like to ask for help. And so, you know, she was the prime example of someone who just said, well, I'm doing this. I'm going to come on this day, you know, and she just showed up. And so I think about that often whenever I know someone who's going through a crisis in their life or needs help, not to just say, well, let me know how I can help, because that's kind of an easy way out, because most of the time people don't tell you how you can help, you know, but to actually say, hey, I'm going to bring you a meal. I'm going to come over and clean your house for you, you know, and just to go for it and not just wait to be told what to do.
That's exactly right. Hey, Crystal, let's take a commercial break for you and your company. Tell us and our listening audience where they can purchase all of your art prints and wonderful greeting cards.
Okay. Well, yep, you can find me at crystalwhitten.com, and that's Crystal with a K. So KrystalWhitten.com. That's my website. I've got some blog posts on there, some tips and how-tos on hand lettering. You can also find me on Instagram at Crystal Whitten, and I am pretty active on there. And I love to encourage people to hand letter and find your own creativity, and then also go deeper into Scripture and develop a closer walk with the Lord through Scripture and through prayer. And so those are kind of my main passions that I like to speak about.
Yeah, it shows. We love your work. And we're going to take the a few minutes as we wrap up this show to dwell a little bit deeper into some of your beautiful art. And I'm going to pick one for starters, the one that's got Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Now I know why there's watermelon on there, because you're part Texan, part Tennessee, and now Tampa. So when you go about using or looking at Scripture, and then you think about what fruit or vegetables can I put, what happened to inspire you to put sweet corn, I'm thinking it's sweet corn, and watermelon on this particular piece of art?
I don't even know. I just was picturing somebody who might want to hang that Scripture on their kitchen wall, and just to think, what are the things that are you know, good to for our bodies to eat. And yep. My husband loves watermelon. That's his favorite. And so that's probably why I picked watermelon, because I was thinking about him, and corn. And that's just the Southern, you know, because I grew up in what would be considered the South, you know. And so corn was always part of our meals growing up. So, it just was a comfort food, and was something that I thought would be spot on the kitchen wall.
I think you just described and defined what whimsy means, because it's what struck you, and it's very whimsical in your approach. In your opinion, is there a renaissance going on when it comes to hand lettering?
I absolutely believe there is, because like I said, I didn't even know that hand lettering was a thing when I was growing up. But I know there's always been sign painters and people who would sketch things. But now it's really just taken off, and people want to learn. And I think it's because we're on our phones all day long and on our computers, and everything's digital. We just send emails.
Yep.
So I do believe that there's a revolution going on of people who are saying, hey, let's send handwritten notes to each other. And if you look at, there's a bunch of people who like to do Bible journaling, which is drawing and sketching and painting in their Bibles, which if you haven't seen that before, that might sound kind of weird to you, but people are really excited about learning how to letter. And even if they say, oh, I've got no creativity, I mean, I'm not an artist. Well, I tell them, well, you do have creativity because you were made in the image of a creative God, but you just may not feel like you have a lot of artistic ability, but you can still learn to hand letter because it's just learning how to draw shapes. And once you learn the shape, you can get this. So I think people definitely are being inspired to try it out.
Yeah, I love your abundance mentality there because, you know, we have interviewed a lot of artists on this show in the past, and sometimes the artists want to keep it close to the vest and they don't want to give away their secrets. But what you just said means, hey, go out there and test it for yourself, folks. Enjoy it and you know, give away your encouragement to other people, because encouragement is a gift of the spirit, and you need to practice it and practice greatness when it comes to encouragement. And you do that through your artwork. So it's kind of an open invitation. Do you think you'll evolve to some point where you will be teaching your techniques online?
Well, I teach a little bit here locally at my church. I've done some classes in some local stores in town. I have been invited to some other churches and I've done stuff for their women's ministries. I would love to figure out a way to teach online. I've just been a little maxed out with life, with, you know, young kids and trying to run a business. But that is definitely something that's kind of been at the back of my mind for several years now, is, okay, at some point you need to set aside some time to learn how to teach online. And I know there are lots of people who teach classes already online. But I believe, you know, we all have a different voice when it comes to style, artistic style, and I would love to do that one day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Well, that's a nice bridge into our final question for our special guest, Crystal Witten. Crystal just described, but didn't, that we just went through and are continuing to go through the pandemic. And here she is. She's the owner of a business. She's supposed to be a great mother, wife, friend, all these various tasks that she's performing as Superwoman. And you probably wake up every morning and you drink jet fuel to keep yourself going. But when you look back on this and your kids look back on it, as well as your husband, what do you think are some of the great lessons that you've learned for yourself and your family as a result of what we've gone through as a nation over the last 4 or 5 months?
Well, you know, it's been interesting. We were at the phase of life before all this happened where we had baseball and gymnastics and piano and church, and we were all gone a lot. And pretty much, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week, I felt like we were either putting a frozen pizza in or grabbing something on the go. And so this period of time of being forced to slow down has been really eye-opening for us. We all got bikes and we started taking bike rides as a family, and we started having dinners more around the table more frequently, and, you know, sitting down together as a family and to watch a movie. And so I just was even telling my husband recently, I don't want to go back to the way we were before. You know, I want to kind of figure out how we can still maintain some of the things we've been enjoying these last 3 months, because this has been awesome, you know. And I've really enjoyed just being around my kids more and not simply shuttling them from one place to another, you know, but we actually spent a lot of time together and we have had great conversations. They're at ages now where we can really talk. And so there were some really hard days in there, and it was really hard figuring out how to still have my business, but also school them and make sure that they were getting all their assignments turned in on time. But I think that God can use anything, right? And that he can use this time, and he has used this time in our life to show us what's most important. And so I've been really encouraged.
So there is an individual named Crystal Witten with her family who looks at the last several months as a gift. And maybe that's what we as a nation, you know, in all this time of tension, maybe that's what we should be doing in general. And that would be a uniting point. You know, just what a unifying point for our nation to think about this is what are the true benefits and fruits of what we've just gone through, and how can we hold on to some of those as great truths and principles going forward?
Right. And I laugh because it sounds so backward, you know, because I certainly would not have viewed this whole thing as a gift. But when you look at it in terms of that, you know, yeah, and that's a good word of unity and how we can proceed from here.
You got it. Well, we certainly enjoyed having you on, and congratulations on being selected as our Artist of the Year. Keep up the great work. You have been gifted by God in the field of encouragement and art. But I think first and foremost is encouragement. It happens to flow through you and manifest itself in some beautiful art prints and greeting cards. And we congratulate you and thank you for being on today, and our best to your entire family.
Well, thank you so much. I am so honored and so grateful, and I just really appreciate you having me on today.
That was Crystal Witten, our Success Made to Last Artist of the Year. You can, again, visit her at her site and buy her great products at crystalwitten.com. And listen, thanks again for joining us on this Success Made to Last show. If you like this particular show, let us know with a comment and rating on our website, successmadetolast.com. You can also go to our contact page and tell us about your positive experience. And please tell your friends and family about your favorite success show. You can always hear us in any of our podcasts, and they can be found on successmadetolast.com. And if you need a kind of a great start to your work week and you want it with a little wit and wisdom, subscribe to our newsletter. As we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. We sure appreciate the sponsorship of this Success Made to Last show by Edward Jones and Serban Marasini. Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Ours does. Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Ours certainly is. Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? Man, ours has. If you think about these as important qualities to have in a financial advisor, you should reach out to your local Edward Jones financial advisor. And ours is Serban Marasini. He can work with you and yours to establish a process to develop your personalized financial strategies to help you reach your goals. Serban's going to partner with you throughout your entire life, like he has with us, to keep your strategy on track despite stuff that happens in a given year, like in 2020. We urge you to contact Serban today at 303-494-2310 or just email him, serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. That's serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. Thanks again for their great sponsorship.